Listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, the Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are here in sunny Cocoa, Florida for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And boy, do we have friends today. I have one of my really, really good friends. I have to say, sometimes she's my BFF, as well as my friend Julie and Tatiana. Sometimes you have those five people that you can call on when you're in distress and you want to talk and you need counseling. And one of those persons for me is my friend Tammy Gilbert. And she's here in Florida for a week and I brought her on the show.
Thank you, Sita. The same here.
Thank you for coming on.
It's an honor to be here today.
Thank you, my love. So this show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We're blessed to have Pastor Paul Lindy sitting with us, running the board for us. Thank you. And Ellen is here as usual.
Yay.
Ellen,
and not sounding too good.
Ellen kind of lost her voice.
I did.
So. Yeah. She texted me this morning. She said, I'll be there, but I don't have a voice.
Yep.
Yeah, every time somebody says, I don't have a voice, and I think and I say, I have a voice for everyone.
That's right.
I can speak to the concrete wall, and the wall will speak back. Yeah. So, in studio today, we've got our good friends from the Boys and Girls Club, and actually, it's called the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. And they're going to be speaking to us later about their mission statement, their vision, their history, and all the great things that the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida is doing. So let me just introduce her. We have Kim Rodriguez, who is a volunteer for Everything in Brevard.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me.
She's so beautiful, and she's here with us. And we've got Anwar, who is a program director for the Boys and Girls Club.
Hello, welcome. How are you guys doing?
Thank you. He's very comfortable on the mic. And Aaron Harvey, who is the development officer at the Boys and Girls Club.
Good afternoon, everyone.
You could actually pull that down. Yeah, we'll show you how to do it so you don't have to stress. Stretch. So this is Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I just want to tell our friends, we have a few kitchen table topics to discuss. Ellen, I'm not sure if you saw the Florida today, but I was on with a few friends.
Yep.
I was there listening to the speeches. And I actually had my sign made at Staples, and it says, Make America Safe Again. Because I'm very concerned about my grandchildren's future and the future of my unborn grandchildren, as well as all my other friends. I know Kim is a grandma. We care. Mm-hmm. And after what happened in Florida at Parkland, at the high school, at Marjorie Stoneman High School, everybody got concerned about guns in schools and angry people and the red flags that we missed. And so I decided that I was going to join these awesome, wonderful, talented kids who planned this march. I have to say, I'm filled with pride. I'm in awe. I'm in shock at how great they were and how organized they were for this march. Organized from Washington, D.C., London, Canada, all over the place. There were marches.
All over the world. And they were marching for Florida, I mean, which is nice.
Right.
And I don't remember this happening in, like, Colorado and some of the other states that this happened in.
Right, and it's called March for Our Lives, and yes. I'm grateful that they included everyone. They said our lives, and these are lives that are, doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, what color, what religion, it's a march for our lives.
And some of the more powerful signs that I saw, too, were saying, the kids holding the sign saying, if I grow up, I'm going to be an astronaut.
Right.
If I grow up, I want to be a... And it was like that power to think, wow, that's what these kids think about every day. It's not going to school and who am I going to hang out with or what am I going to learn today? It's really, am I going to make it to school safe and am I going to make it home safe?
Right. And there was these kids, I watched the coverage on a little bit on CNN and MSNBC, and they were so articulate. The kids were so articulate. And I want to send out an apology to the kids. If our generation have failed you in any way, we're sorry. But the only way we can make it up to you is we can say, exercise the right to vote. And so get your friends and family, know the issues, know why you're voting, know who you're voting for and what is it you want us to do. Our legislators in Tallahassee and Washington, D.C., they need to pay attention to the kids. They're not just making noise. They're actually pouring their heart out and saying, we don't feel safe in our schools. And a lot of people feel arming teachers is not the way to go. We need more mental health screening in our nation. We need more people to step up to the plate and have more law enforcement officers in the school. I don't want my grandchild telling me how many people have to hide under a desk when an alarm goes off in the school.
And actually, you know? I think it was in the article. I don't know if it was in that article on the Florida Today, but Pasco County is starting to arm. They're starting the program of arming the teachers.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a tragedy.
Well, you know, as a nurse, I know when we have to lock up narcotics, it takes a while to get your key and open the narcotic box to get the drugs out. So just imagine if a teacher has to lock that gun up. It takes a little while to get your key, go to your lockbox, get the key out, unless they're planning on taking the gun with them everywhere in the school, which personally I think is a bit scary. I mean, 1 in 3 people in the United States know someone who's been shot. 1 in 3, just think about it. So, I mean, these kids are not making noise just for anything. They've got the statistics. And it is taking a massive toll on American children and just us. And Tammy's from Chicago. We were talking about Chicago this morning and how many people die from gun-related deaths in Chicago. And whether people are watching or not and listening, it's time that we all wake up and do something about guns. We don't want to take away the right to carry a gun. We're just saying these high-capacity guns, the AR rifles.
What a cool thing in Chicago, the top of the library, the very top floor of the library is that whole section on taking our streets back and taking our cities and taking our communities back.
Right.
And I thought, what a powerful message. And that was 6 years ago when I did the Chicago Marathon. I mean, so that was way before even some of the shootings that have happened recently. And Margaret Mead's quotes were up on the wall and, you know, don't be surprised at what a few people can do to make a big change.
Well,
and that's exactly what that march. That
right. And whether people know it or not, gun violence is a drain on the U.S. taxpayers. When you think about the medical treatment, the criminal justice proceedings, security precautions, and the reductions in quality of life. Also, I mean, the workforce is affected when someone is shot. It affects the entire family. It affects the community. So all we're saying is, you know, we support universal background checks and we support sensible gun control laws. That's it. I don't want to be in a soapbox, but sometimes you feel as though if you have a voice and a talent and a gift and that's given to you by the good Lord upstairs. I mean, some people just don't have faith. I do. I think it is a sin not to use that voice for the common good for humanity and do something wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. So that's it. And that's what Kim and Aaron and Anwar and Ellen and Tammy and all of us, that's what we believe in. That's why we're here today. So on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, which is our show here on WWBC AM 1510, we're going to be speaking with Aaron, who I met at a fundraiser. And I was totally amazed at all the great things and all the success stories from the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. And I was looking to see, we had one, ours is in Cocoa. You guys are with the branch in Cocoa, but you fall under the umbrella of the Boys and Girls Club in Central Florida, right?
That's correct. We actually have 3 clubs currently in Brevard County. We have 1 in Mims, 1 in Cocoa, and 1 in Melbourne.
Great. And for our listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, the mission of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida is to enable all young people, especially those who need us the most, to reach their full potential as productive, caring, and responsible citizens. So Anwar, I'm going to ask you to tell us the vision of the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida.
Well, the vision, I would say, is for the kids that we serve and the kids that are a part of all our clubs, not just, you know, the ones in Cocoa, but the ones in all of Central Florida, is to make sure they are better than when they first come through the doors. Like I was explaining earlier, these kids come from various backgrounds. We don't know their background sometimes. We don't know what they have going on in their personal lives, but we want to give them some kind of enrichment and nourishment through our various programming, so they are better citizens, as it says, responsible, caring, and productive citizens when they are able to leave the club, because we serve kids all the way from ages 6 all the way up to 18. And a lot of those kids, once they're out, they want to come back and either volunteer or work for the clubs, because we poured so much into them, they want to be able to pour back into that next generation.
Yeah, it's always good when people in our community are able to mentor and guide children.
Right.
Because unfortunately, we all know it. I mean, and as you get older and you know what life is all about, you do recognize that not every child has the same opportunity. And it's the truth. We see it. We know it. We've seen people and we know people like that, no fault of their own.
Right.
And some of them, of course, they do need education and all that. So, Aaron, give us a brief history of the Boys and Girls Club.
Well, the Boys and Girls Club started in Central Florida in 1944. And then we also had a clubs in Brevard County, which ended up coming under the umbrella of the Central Florida Market in 2006.
Great. And of course, we mentioned that Kim was here as well, Kim Rodriguez, right? And so, Kim, you tell us, how did you get involved with the Boys and Girls Club? Because I know you're involved with Hospice of St. Francis. That's a shout out for Hospice. And you do so much more. I mean, I've seen you in the newspaper. I went and I saw that beautiful moving tribute that your daughter Christina made for you. And it made every mother cry in that room, how beautiful it was with all the activism and volunteerism you do right here in Brevard. So how did you get involved with Boys and Girls Club?
Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment. It is my pleasure to serve. I can't imagine getting up every day and not doing something for my community. And you mentioned my daughter, Christina. We have five daughters, and I will tell you with great pride that as a mom, the thing that makes me happiest is to see my own children out there giving to others without me prodding them like I used to. People ask me all the time, how long have your daughters been working out and giving and donating their time? And Christina piped up, she goes, well, I could walk and talk, so what was I like, two? And that's kind of been my motto. And the Boys and Girls Club was such an easy stretch for me because I'm seeing our future. And part of the training I was doing with my daughters was getting them to realize what our community needs so that no matter what community they are in, they can see a need and fill it and they know how to do it. When I was introduced to the Boys and Girls Club, it was through a friend of mine who told me constantly, Kim, you have to see what I'm doing here. Kim, you've got to see what I'm doing here. He kept inviting me to things a little bit at a time, and one day I left. It was a breakfast, and I called him, and I said, I'm all in. I'm going to go tour the Boys and Girls Club. I want to see what's going on there, and here's the reason why. I worked really hard to give my kids a chance, and they had great upbringings, and I'll just be honest. Some turned out great. Some turned out pretty good. When you go to this Boys and Girls Club and you see these children, the look on their face, the appreciation for everything you do for them, they're so courteous and kind and well-behaved. It's like every mother's dream. And when you go and you touch their lives just a little bit and they're so happy, all you want to do is more. For those of you who have kids, you know what it's like when you go to all that effort to buy them that special birthday present or do something kind for them, and they're just, oh, thanks.
Well, I think
and they walk
that's,
away.
I think that's where sometimes we think we spoil our kids a little bit because, unfortunately, it's expected now, right?
Correct.
With our own children, they expect it from us. But with someone who does not have that expectation, it's wonderful to have the appreciation. And I've seen it with my own children as well. I mean, it was expected that you help with car insurance. It was expected that you help fill out college applications or whatever. But other children show the appreciation when you do things like that for them, whereas your own, sometimes they don't. It's just another day in your household.
Well, when
and
you
that's
get
the opportunity, the word opportunity comes in.
Anybody who walks in those doors and sees those children gets addicted. They want to go back. They want to give more. They want to contribute financially or physically. And there's so many ways you can contribute. You don't need to be there every day doing homework. There's a million little different things that we can all do as a community to make all these children's lives better and make our futures better because they're going to be better adults. They're graduating high school. 100% of them graduate from high school that goes to the Boys and Girls Club. Come on. That's amazing.
And I wonder why we don't hear more about that in the news instead of, you know what, other things, right? So, Aaron, how is the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida different from other youth programs?
Well, there's several ways we're different. We have more contact with the children that we serve. We're there every day, Monday through Friday, several hours during the after-school program. It's from the time they get out of school until 9, running specific programs. We don't just do one specific program. All of our programs encompass our priority outcomes, which are academic success, healthy lifestyles, and good character and citizenship. So we touch them in a lot of different ways. It's not just a one day we're taking them out to the bowling alley or one day we're just tutoring them. We really encompass everything that they need to be successful.
Right. And Anwar, you've been you are helping at the Boys and Girls Club here in Coco.
Yes, ma'am.
And in what do you see when you serve these when you serve these children? What kind of programs are you seeing that are working and which ones aren't?
All of them work. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But
like, what are the top programs?
The top programs.
Because there are things that you do that you know is working, and mm-hmm. there's some things you say, okay, we need to tweak this a little bit.
Right. Definitely what we call Power Hour for our younger ones, which is our homework hour. We set aside an hour Monday through Thursday because usually on Fridays they do not have homework. So we set that hour aside and they're either doing homework, studying, reading. They're doing some kind of academic program on the computers. So, you know, that's definitely beneficial, not just for them, but for the parents, because the parents are also knowing, okay, when my kids come there, they are doing their homework. So their grades are going to be right. And, you know, if something's not going right, they know they have the open gate to come talk to us about anything. Then we have what we have called Smart Girls and Passport to Manhood, which are enrichment programs for our girls and our boys. Smart Girls really took off this year because we had a great volunteer come in, and she was actually over that program. And Smart Girls is basically for our younger girls. You know, the media tells them that this is pretty, that they should be one way, that they should be this way. And that program shows them, no, you don't have to be that way.
Yeah, so empowerment.
Exactly.
Yes. So as program director, I bet you're open to a lot of ideas as well.
Yes, ma'am.
And suggestions from the families, your mentors, mm-hmm. and maybe the business community as well. People
right.
do help.
Yes, ma'am.
They offer suggestions and things. And so, Kim, tell us a success story at the Boys and Girls Club, something that really touched your heart. Because, you know, those of us who volunteer in our community, there's always that one instance, that one child, that one event that stands out in our mind, and we say, this is why I do it.
Well,
I'm sure you have several.
That's really hard because every time I go, I'm like, oh, I'm so in love with this child. That's amazing. That's brilliant. And then I hear the next one speak. I'm like, oh my gosh, that kid's amazing too. I have to say, one of the first breakfasts that I went to, Daisha was one of our speakers. And what I saw was this beautiful young woman stand up there. And later on, I found out that she had actually been making dolls so that she could sell them at school to have money to give to her grandmother, because her grandmother was raising her. And that just stole my heart. And I will tell you that through that, I got with a bunch of my friends and I told them, I said, you know, these kids need sewing machines. We want to have a sewing class. And I just put a post out on Facebook and I said, we need sewing machines. And like 8 sewing machines appeared. Everybody's like, I want to help. I want to give them a sewing machine. So now they can have sewing class. But any one of those children that you meet and you hear their story or you see them, it just steals your heart. And there's so much success. Again, 100% graduation rate. My kids can't say that. They all went to Vieira High School. They can't say that about their classmates. So anytime you see one of those kids or those sweet little smiles, you're going to get a great story from them. And then what blows your mind is to know what happened in their home the night before. And I know that some of the things that Anwar has to absorb. Now, I wish you could all see Anwar. He's this huge mountain of a man.
But he has a soft heart. You can tell.
Yeah, I'm a teddy bear.
He is, but, you know, he would intimidate me. But I don't think you use intimidation.
No. Nah.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, this is Sita Begee. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we're here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're heard every Monday from 1 to 2. And I just want to give a shout out to our friend Yvonne Mason, who lives all the way in Vero Beach, and she is sponsoring today's show for the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. That's wonderful. We have such great friends with Sita and Friends. And we also have our show on iTunes. You can download a podcast. And you can also find our past shows on Sita Media Inc. Ellen's lost her voice today, so I'm doing her part of the show, as well as my own, which is great. that's the thing about having a fun, unscripted show, that you don't really have to think about what you're saying, but you just have to know freedom of speech comes with a responsibility to always be nice. So I want to ask Aaron, What are some of the experiences that the kids have had through the Boys and Girls Club that they probably would not have gotten if we didn't have a club right here in Cocoa?
Well, many of our kids have transportation issues, and getting anywhere outside of the area of Cocoa is always a great experience for them. We've done things. We've gotten to take a trip to New York City last summer with 25 of our teens that was sponsored. Most of those kids had never flown on a plane or even been in an airport before. We went to on the Carnival cruise ship last summer.
Yeah.
Where the kids got to see a cruise ship. They would have never, you know, had that opportunity. They were really in awe, and they got to learn a little bit more about what's in the world
yes.
by doing that. So,
passport to the world.
Right.
That's beautiful.
Right.
So, Anwar, how did you get involved with the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida? Because were you one of the children that attended the Boys and Girls Club, or did you hear about it through other people? Because, I mean, we want to see more people like you get involved in our community. This is amazing.
Well, to be honest, I didn't grow up in the Boys and Girls Club. Growing up in South Florida, you kind of looked at it as like a little kid center that, you know, they go there to get babysat.
The perception out there, you know.
Right.
That's why shows like Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is important, to spread the message what you all are doing.
Right. But, you know, once I went to college, I would come home, work in summer camps and stuff like that. And kind of find a niche working with kids, because, you know, I'm a big teddy bear. You know, I'm a big kid myself. I like having fun. So when I got the opportunity to actually apply for the Boys and Girls Club, I did. And I actually started at the Temple Terrace branch in Melbourne. And so once I got in there, it's like I just took off with the kids. You know, a lot of the kids that I worked with back then, they still contact me now for advice or let me know that, you know, don't think we weren't listening. You know, we might have had attitudes. We might have, you know, gave you this, that, and a third, but just know that we were listening, and we did soak it in, and we used that same advice that you gave us all those years ago to this day. And, you know, kind of to piggyback off of what Miss Erin was saying earlier on places that we've been, a couple years ago, we got to go to Miami, and the kids looked at that like it was a whole new state. I'm like, you know, we're only about 3 hours from Cocoa, but it's like they were like saying how the air tastes different, it smells different. So just that type of impact, where you could impact a child's world to the point where you can see when their mind is being open to new possibilities that they never thought were possible before.
Right. And do you have a lot of children from a single parent background or two parent household? I mean, I would think that when we talk about opportunity for children, sometimes that's what we see a lot, or sometimes just two parents trying to make ends meet and they don't have that extra time,
right,
or grandma raising a child. What do you see the background of the children?
We do have single parent families. We do have the two parent families, and we do have the children who are being raised by their grandparents.
Yes.
But even with like the single parent homes, a lot of parents, just by having their kids in the Boys and Girls Club, they know their kids are in a safe place.
Yes.
They know they have nothing to worry about, so they're able to, you know, keep their jobs instead of having to take off that time to, you know, pick them up from school. They have to be at home with their kids. And we've actually had some parents that have actually tried to go back and get their degrees that they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do before.
What I like about the Boys and Girls Club, too, is that you all try to engage the parents as well in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're also helping the parents as well as the children. You know, they say if you want to see peace on earth, we have to change our behaviors.
Right.
And I think that starts at home. That starts in your community. It starts where you live. You try to change your community and change the thought processes of people in that community if you want to see change. And I think it's wonderful that you guys are doing that, not just for the children and the grandparents and their parents, but you're also doing it because you want to see a better Brevard.
Right.
You want to see a more productive society as well. And that's the only way we're going to accomplish that, is through education, I think. And I love it. I think it's great. So what is the website, Erin, in case someone is listening and they want to check out the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida?
Our website is bgccf.org.
And Kim, I think we have a couple of minutes yet on the segment. What can our community do to help? I mean, we always need volunteers for programs, but what else? What can you tell our listeners we need help with?
Anything. I mean, I would go on the website, make contact with Erin or myself. We're always looking for people to donate funds. We're always looking for people to donate time, objects, things that are of value that perhaps you don't know what to do with, but we could sell it on Craigslist and turn around and make it into money. So there's so many creative things to do, and we're doing a fundraiser right now, a golf tournament that is going to be at Duran May 4th. Shotgun start at 8:30. We're looking for sponsors, and we're also looking for people just to do whole sponsors and participate. So that's one way that you can give. We're also going to annually have a ladies' luncheon in February. I promise if you obligate yourself to this as a sponsor or just to come and eat with us, you will walk out there with your heart full. And my primary goal by helping Boys and Girls Club right now is to get the wait list cleared at the Cocoa campus. We have almost 200 kids waiting to get in. We have the facility, we have the space, but we don't have the funding to pay the employees. That's that many kids who every afternoon are there being educated.
So there's a need.
There's great need.
And I just wanted to tell our listeners a little bit. You know, I read the history of the Boys and Girls Club this morning, and it's very short. I won't bore everybody. It says, the Boys and Girls Club of America had its beginnings in 1860 with three women. Again, women, we just could multitask. We can do pretty much anything. In Hartford, Connecticut, Mary Goodwin, Alice Goodwin, and Elizabeth Hammersley, believing that boys who roamed the streets should have a positive alternative, they organized the first club. And how many times we hear people judge or children, and they judge children who are off to school and just walking with their friends or at the malls or whatever, but they don't do anything. So I would say to those people who like to judge others, it's not good enough to sit on your chair at home or your couch and pass judgment. If you really want to see positive change, get involved. Get engaged. Brevard County, I mean, right here, we have so many nonprofits in town that are doing things. And the Boys and Girls Club, I mean, you guys, you get your referrals from schools and parents, and where else do you get your referrals? So our people who are sitting on the couches and judging others, they can help.
A lot of it, I know, is probably, Ms. Erica probably answered this better, but word of mouth. Once people realize what we're doing and, you know, how we're doing things, parents will tell parents, who will tell school teachers, who would tell counselors, and then all of a sudden our phones are blowing up. How can I be a part of this? How can I get my kid inside?
Well, that's what Kim was saying. Oh, 200 children on the waiting list.
So how much does it cost to sponsor one child?
That'll be for you, Aaron. How much to sponsor one child?
So just to give somebody an idea that if they gave a cash donation, how many children would they be sponsoring?
So ideally, we generally throw out the number 4,000 for the entire year. Mm-hmm. We usually break that up. We can break it up into a summer program for $1,000 or an after school program. There's different ways that you can sponsor a child or break it up into different programs that they're actually participating.
So that's the goal, everybody. Everybody who's listening to this very soft, uncharacteristic voice of me today.
Yeah. They can also go on the website, and there's a donate button there as well.
But that's the job, to get these 200 kids off the wait list. So we give Kim a great Christmas present.
You don't know how happy
and
it would make me.
And the thing is, you know, you improve the behavior of people and of the children when you get involved in clubs like the Boys and Girls Club. And I see Anwar shaking his head because the expectation is that the child is going to be part of society and give back. And that's what we all want. You know, it's not... I sometimes, you know, speak to people and they'll say, well, we have so many nonprofits in Brevard, why another one? And I say, well, you have to look at the mission of what they're doing. And if the goal is to improve the lives of that child so that that child becomes a productive citizen, not just for Brevard, but for the world, you've done your job. Right. And so we're hoping that maybe businesses can partner up with you as well. You do have a few businesses that partner with you right now, correct? Do you know a few of them offhand?
Yes, that's correct. We do have some great partners within Brevard County. Some of them are businesses, local organizations like the Rotary Clubs are very involved. One of the programs we're trying to run this summer is a career exploration program where we're taking the kids to businesses to see how the business operates. That would be another way if it's not a funding opportunity
you
for them.
You just want to plant the seed.
Right.
To just see how to run a business.
Right.
Maybe a child would be more inclined to open a business, right? So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with the Boys and Girls Club, and then we have Tammy. My friend Tammy Gilbert is going to be talking about career CPR. That's kind of interesting because I think we all need it.
And stress management.
and stress management. Oh, we all need that, right? Yes.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee.
author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
So these three women. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. What an action-packed show today. We have Anwar with us. We have, and he's a program director for the Boys and Girls Club. We also have Erin Harvey with us. And we also have Kim Rodriguez, and we have Tammy, my friend, who's visiting from Chicago. And Erin is the development officer for the Boys and Girls Club of Central, well, of COCO, right? So we were talking a little bit about the mission of the Boys and Girls Club. We were talking about a little bit about the programs, and now we wanted to talk about the events that are coming up. And Kim, you had a golf tournament that's coming up?
Yes, May 4th at Duran Country Club. It's the first annual golf club that is, I mean, golf tournament that is going to, the funds are going to go directly to the Boys and Girls Club. So we would like sponsors and golfers. I'm in need of bodies out there. I know nothing about golf myself, but I heard it's a really fun thing. So if you want a sponsor, if you can get in touch with us on our website, you can also donate there and be a sponsor. Again, it's May 4th at Duran, and Shotgun starts at 8:30.
And before we turn out, we want to talk to Tammy a little bit. And I know I heard Anwar asking her a little bit about what is career CPR. We're going to find out. I think we all can use that information. So, Aaron, what else do you want our listeners to know about the Boys and Girls Club here in Cocoa before we turn over the segment to Tammy? Was there anything that you wanted to speak of that you didn't get a chance to?
Well, I think we covered a lot of information about our programs today. I do want anybody to know that if they are interested in getting involved, we'll definitely find a fit for you. It's a great opportunity to show that we're going to build these great futures, and it's a great investment in our youth.
So what happens with the 200 children that are waiting on the list to be part of the programming at the Boys and Girls Club? Do they just wait and hear from their friends about the great things, or what do they do in the meantime? Do we have any ideas?
Well, to be honest with you, some of these kids are going home to empty homes because they don't have anywhere else to go. They do hear about the club at the schools, you know, because all the kids go to the similar schools. Some of them do go home with older siblings, but for the most part, many of them aren't in any kind of program right
now. And I think that's the key to life is compassion, right? And it's wonderful that you all are caring like that, and that you want to expand the program, and maybe a bigger facility later on would be great too, right? So you could have children, instead of going home, they can come to the programs. Anwar, I see you shaking your head. So I guess it bothers you that they have to go home, and probably some might get into mischief.
Right, you know, during after school hours, you know, you never know what they're going to be getting into. And, you know, they have influences coming from anywhere, either it's positive or negative, and you never know which way they're going to go. At least, you know, when they're in the clubs, we know which way we're shaping them to go.
Right.
You know?
Even with technology. I mean, nowadays, I remember when my son would be grounded, you know, you would say, well, you're going into your room for a couple of hours. But he had a TV, he had air conditioning, and he had a cell phone. That's not grounding, if you ask me. That's a vacation, you know? I in the old days, when you got grounded, you had to do chores. You had to sweep, you had to clean, you had to plan, you had to do some work, right? Nowadays, people say, well, you're grounded, you're in your room. Even when they come home from school, some kids are by themselves, but you've got technology, you've got that phone and the internet that's there with them. And that is really scary. I think most parents, that's like, you know, you know that if they're home and they're protected with four walls, and they're protected because you have an alarm on or whatever, but what they learn on the internet is worse than anything else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think when they were the Boys and Girls Club, you guys keep it structured so that you don't have to, you can even say, well, put your phones down. This is, you know, something we want to talk about. How do you cope with that with the kids with technology?
My supervisor, Dr. Raquel Hinton, she has actually implemented it where if you're 12 and under, if you're from 6 years old to 12 years old, you can't even have your cell phone at the club. Some parents do give it to them to take to school and stuff like that, but they have to keep it in their bag so you can engage in other activities. Now with the teens, they're more prone not to come if they cannot use their cell phone. So we try to incorporate programs and activities that allow them to use technology, use their cell phones. We have a photography club and a video editing club. So they're able to use their phones as the video camera and the cameras to take pictures, take videos, and then able to edit those within the program. So a lot of that stuff, you know, we try to incorporate where we can.
Yeah, because, you know, like the human contact is gone sometimes, even with teenagers.
Right.
Like people just don't know how to look each other in the face and in the eye and say, hello, how are you? It's got to be with a text or a phone. And I think that's one of the things is as an adult and as a mom and as a grandmother, I try to say to my children is, you know, when you're eating dinner or you're having family time, you've got to put the phones down. Because we're losing that touch where the family comes together and talk about what happened during your day and what's happening at school, and maybe there's a child who's been bullied or whatever it is. That's when you should be talking, and people are losing that because the phones have kind of taken over everything. So I'm glad that you guys are doing that. So Tammy is here from Chicago, and This was kind of cool because my guest who was supposed to come in today, Ellen, as you know, Yvonne Mason, her husband's in the hospital, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery. She did put it on Facebook so we can say it, and she wouldn't mind at all. We love Jack, and we love hearing about him. But then I realized that Tammy was going to be here, and I said, you know what? Tammy is giving speeches all over the place. She's an author. She's a nurse. She works at Northwestern Hospital, and she's a good friend of mine. So I should just bring Tammy on and give us some time as well. So here she is.
Hi. Hi. Like I mentioned before, it's great being here, and thank you for letting me be included in the segment here. So I'm an author of Career CPR. It's a strategy to resuscitate and nurture your career. And I know a lot of people saying, when they hear CPR, career CPR, they just think it's, you know, you're resuscitating life. But in a way, you are resuscitating life and getting, because a lot of times we start a job, we're very excited, we love it, and then all of a sudden, we don't love it anymore. We're not as excited.
It becomes stale.
Right.
Like old bread.
Right. We dread it going to work. And also, right now, too, I don't know if I mentioned it to you, Sita, I'm in the process of writing the second part of that book right now, and it's called Career CPR, How to Work with Any Personality in the Workplace. Because in the workplace, there's so many personalities. So learning to respond and dealing with it is, you know, is a strategy by itself. But you know, because I only have a small time today, so I'm only going to talk about the stress management part of resuscitating your career and your life. Because what happened is that many people are so stressed nowadays. And what happened with the stress is that when you stress in your personal life, it affects your professional life. And then it affects your social life. So you don't just get stressed in one area. It can affect each other. And then with the stress, short term is good for us.
Yes.
Because it keeps us on our toes. It helps us get a project done. It helps us do a lot of things. But long term, it's not good for us. Our body is not built for long-term stress because... I'm just going to go to a tiny nursing part of this, because when you stress, your body secretes a hormone, and this hormone is circulating in your system, and it increases. You heard the term flight or fight, right? When you stress, the hormone creates flight or fight.
Usually by anxiety,
right.
Or if you're scared of something, like if you're late for a flight.
Right.
Oh boy, does that kick in then?
And then it makes you run faster, right? So you can make your plane. But on the long term, it's not good for us, because eventually it started affecting our heart. It started to affect our immune system, and that's why people who are on the long term stress, they end up with a high blood pressure. And with the hormone secretion, it can affect people end up being diabetes as well, because that hormone help also secrete insulin. So people hormone, and then you get other, you're not able to fight off a simple infection. So anyway, it's good to manage our health, because long-term stress it's good to manage our stress, because on a long-term basis, it affects us. And so now that I tell you what effect it have on us, so how do you do it? And what I do, I give workshops, and I give speeches and on how to just manage our stress. And the first thing that I was saying before is work-life balance. Because nowadays, we are multitasking everywhere, and then I hear Cedar, I hear you, and I hear Kim, I hear everybody, how we are just doing all these things. And sometimes we need to take a break. We need to just take a breath. Because, you know, just going and going and going, our body is not meant for that, and eventually it does catch up with us. So we need to take a break from, okay, I'm going to work from this time to this time. I know it's hard, but we have to do it. And then, okay, maybe one day or half a day just to myself to relax, to work with nature, or to do what something that you love doing.
Right, so give yourself rewards.
Right, right. Reward and taking a break. Yeah, relax.
You know, I think I do that a lot, but I enjoy my Facebook. So I just lay around on a couch and I Facebook away. But, you know, I always wondered, like, in Jamaica, we have the hammocks. Uh-huh. In Trinidad, we have those hammocks. And people would go to work and come home and then lay in those hammocks. And they would lay there for hours. And it was almost like a fight to get to lay down in a hammock. And, you know, little did we know, they were de-stressing at that point.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, when you're a child, you're like, oh, that brother is a lazy one. All he wants to do is lay in that hammock. But, you know, the islands, they really got it to where people knew how to de-stress by gardening or by going to their place of worship or walking. Right. We did a lot of walking. And you know, we don't think about it in the terms of their de-stressing, but they were.
Well, yeah, so
it's cultural. Would you say it's cultural?
It kind of helped me segment into the next thing I was going to say. Here is yoga and meditation. You know, that's what helps us relax. You know, laying in a hammock and things, it may help you relax, but we don't have that here.
Yes.
So yoga and meditation and exercising, you know, helps us with that. And then when we are stressed, what do we reach for? We reach for comfort food. And that adds to the stress, you know, to the body, and we gain weight and all that, the whole thing. So we have to try to eat healthy. And we were just, you guys were just talking about kids and technology. As an adult, too, you know, technology is supposed to enhance our life, but I think it's creating more stress because now we constantly on our laptop,
devices,
iPhone.
Yes.
So we need to take a break. We need to take a break.
Well, I think I'm going to ask. So Ellen, we'll each take a minute or two and ask each other, how do we de-stress? So what do you do when you're stressed out?
Oh, here.
Well, as you know, Ellen. The reason why my voice is like this is because I sing in bands.
Yeah.
And I also do a lot of nonprofit work where it comes to singing and putting on shows or whatever the case may be, because that's my superpower. That's
singing.
That's what I have. I love to sing. I love to do.
And that's how you de-stress, by doing something that you love.
Because it's a moment that you can just disappear. I mean, if you've ever had that moment of music where it just kind of, you're the only person in the room, it's an amazing feeling.
What do you do, Tam, when you want to de-stress?
Well, it depends. It depends on how much time you have, because sometimes you have this much or you have this. So in the moment, like if I'm at work and there's a lot of things going and I feel stressed, you know, I have this 5 minutes breathing exercise that I do. Or even just doing like a 3 deep breath, you know, when you, as you breathe, inhale, like you expand your stomach, and then as you exhale, you kind of. So 3 times, try it. It really works. So that's like a short term if you don't have that much time. But if you have a day or something, I do yoga and meditation. I love it because it helps me sleep better. And when you sleep better, you can concentrate and make better choices, I say. So that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like, you know, we live in a society where everybody wants a quick fix. And if you can't sleep, they want a pill for it.
Right.
But like you say, yoga and meditation might take right. time. And I see Anwar, you're shaking your head. You think that's the truth? Yeah. I think so.
Well, as you can see, I don't do too much yoga.
Yes. No, but you know, it's almost like we want a quick fix for everything.
Right.
And sometimes you don't need a pill. You don't need medication. Sometimes, like she's saying, just yoga, meditation, walking. Would you agree, Kim?
Absolutely. And to me, the meditation and the walking and separating myself from other people and thankfulness. When I feel stressed, and trust me, when you have 6 kids and, you know, you volunteer, you do all these things, you feel stressed when you work, no matter what it is. But there's always reasons to be stressed. But I found that if I pull myself aside, and I read this in a book, and just start saying out loud all the things you're thankful for, starting with the bed you just slept in, the feet that hit the floor that wasn't freezing cold, the shower that had hot water, and you just make your brain say everything you're thankful for until you can't think of anything else, which never happens. it kind of clears all those cobwebs out, and it makes your whole body feel better. It just,
so you reprogram your brain to think positive.
Right, and releases endorphins of positivity and get rid of that anxious feeling that you had inside. And once you conquer that, then you just hold on tight to it. And if you see it coming back, you step aside and start all over again.
What about you, Erin? Do you have any little tips what you do for stress relief?
Well, I'm very similar. I do meditation, and I enjoy running because I can be by myself when I'm running, and I don't have to answer anybody's questions or do anything other than think about the things, like Kim said, that I'm thankful for and what I have been able to accomplish if I'm not able to get everything done that I wanted to.
And I, well, Tammy's from, Tammy was born in Nigeria, and I was born in Trinidad and Tobago, and so we have similar experiences growing up as children. And I can tell you, when you've lived in a third world country and you now live in the United States, we are grateful.
Yeah.
There's so much to be grateful for in the United States. And sometimes when I go home on a vacation, I would tell my friends and my family members that the poorest person in Trinidad and the poorest person in America is still richer than a lot of the people that we left back home. It's just, it's all what you see, you know? And for me, talking about food, I cook when I'm stressed out. I enjoy feeding people. I think I should, in my next life, I should just have a tent and I should just have a pot to make rice and curry chicken. And I would feed the entire world. I just feel like when you give,
we'll be there.
I just feel like when you give your talents, gift, and abilities to others, and if you recognize that it's something that makes you happy, you in turn, you're making other people happy as well. So I like to feed people. And you know that for a fact.
Yeah, I know. We got in yesterday through Melbourne airport, and then here I got a text from Sita. I just cook a pot of rice and curry chicken. Come by for dinner.
So you have a website. So you do this, the career CPR, and you're giving your talks about distress management as well. And you also have a website. So give us your website in case someone is listening in Chicago or elsewhere and they want to book you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my website is www.tammygilbert.com, and that's a TammyGilbert.com.
So Tammy and I met, we have a few minutes left. Tammy and I met in Chicago when my husband was doing his residency at Cook County Hospital.
How long ago was that?
Oh, my God, 25 years
ago.
Oh,
my God.
And Tammy was a nursing assistant at that time, and I was an LPN there. And I met Tammy, and she says, you know, she's from Nigeria, and I said, I'm from Trinidad, and we had similar experiences in America. Next thing I know, Tammy's going back to school for an RN. Next thing, she's going back for her master's. And all I could do was just cook and say, come over and eat, Tammy. And so we became really good buddies. And when I got pregnant with my daughter, Jasmine, Tammy had the baby shower And so the kids grew up knowing Tammy as part of the family. So when Jasmine was recently filling out her, she was asking me, who are we inviting for her wedding? The first person that went on her list was Tammy. And so she says, I need Tammy's address. Well, Tammy's moved. And so I said, I will text Tammy and get a feast. But, you know, sometimes you make such a wonderful relationship, some friendships. And I think life is all about faith, food, friendships, family, and a little finances. Mm. And with Tammy, she's a friend that everybody wants, but they can't have. You know? Because I think, you know, some friends, they just accept you for who you are and the way you are. And they mentor and guide you as well. And we've learned so much from each other over the 25 years that I'm honored to be your friend as well.
Same here, Sita.
Yes.
Same here.
And we laugh about stories from Nigeria about her uncles and her family. And then I tell her my stories about Trinidad. And it's amazing. Like, you could pick up where you left off, right? I'm sure all of you have a friend like that. I see Kim shaking her head as well. Yeah, we all know that you can't go through this life without having those solid friendships and relationships, and you can know a lot of people and meet a lot of people and their acquaintances, but when it comes to having those three or four or five people that in a time of crisis you can call, I wonder how many people have that. Because, you know, we see all these things on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, and now I see Snapchat, and I don't think people are taking the time like Tammy and I did to get to cultivate a friendship. So, you know, today I think our show is all about friends and family and giving back to community It's important that people understand that technology, like what Tammy was saying, has taken over our lives, but it shouldn't take over our hearts, right?
Right.
So Tammy, what else do you want to tell us about this, the career CPR? Do you have a question for her, Anbar? I know you were asking something earlier.
Oh, no, she explained it perfectly, so she I understand now.
Yeah,
I need to get the book.
I think you were right in that when you get a job, sometimes it becomes the same thing, monotonous all the time. You're doing the same thing, and you do need something to pick you up and say, "Hey, be great." Number one, like Kim said, be grateful that you have a job. Yeah. How many people don't have a job, right?
Yeah, when we do have it, complacent. People get complacent with their job, and then they get bored. And you know, besides stress, managing your stress. Is also like, what can I do to kind of spice up my job?
Sounds like a marriage. What do you do to spice up your marriage? Tammy, we need to do a show.
So that's a different show.
Yeah, I know. You know, because it's a true people fall into these humdrum lives where they need to spice everything up.
Yeah, it's up to you. You can't wait for your boss, your job, your company to do it for you. You have to do it. So that's what that book is about.
Well, a lot of people ask you your advice when they're getting married, right? And I always say, if you wait for the word marriage to make you happy, it's not going to make you happy. You make yourself happy within the marriage.
You are responsible.
Or even if you have a relationship with someone, if you think that person is going to make you happy, think again. It's what you do within that relationship. You are the boss. You come into this world alone and you go out alone. So nobody's going to make you happy, right? I see everybody nodding their head. People look for happiness in the wrong places sometimes. Sometimes all you have to do is look at yourself and what makes you happy. And if you're happy, then you can make other people happy as well. Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think the positivity starts the minute, like somebody said, you hit the ground running.
Right.
You wake up in the morning and you say, look out world, here I come. I think life is a vacation. It is. And I a lot of people ask me, well, why do I say that? Sometimes I'll write, life is a vacation on earth. It is. How blessed are we to be on earth and enjoy this vacation, what we call life, right? That's the spiritual side of a Hindu person like myself. You know, the spirituality is that you're grateful just to be alive and give back. I see you shaking your head. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Anwar seems to agree with everything. We need to hang up more with him.
Person.
Yeah. What is your stress management with the remaining minutes?
Oh, we didn't hear.
Yes, I can't do yoga. Can't do yoga. But I'm into music as well. I produce music. I DJ, and then I also pray.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, those
DJ,
two things.
Do you have a website? You're more than welcome to give it.
Oh, right now that's under construction.
Well, Ellen here helps build websites. Oh. If you need, she can recommend someone for you as well. So, Ellen, what a great show. I like shows like this when it's fun and unscripted and you walk away learning something. Because, I mean, that's why, I think that's at the end of the day, that's why we're all here on earth, is to really be thy brother's keeper, not just say you're going to do it, but you should actually do it.
And like you always say, it doesn't always have to be about the cash that you give. It could be about the time. Can be about the effect that you make or the impact that you make in the community. So find your way, all of you listening out there in Viewpoint with Seed of Land, please make sure that you find your way. And on our Facebook page, I actually did make a post that to donate to the Boys and Girls Club of Central Florida. So there is a donate button there, as well as these great websites that we've been talking about today, so that everybody can get a copy of Tammy's book and also make sure that you can find out more about the Boys and Girls Club.
Right, and we're going to let Kim speak about the event one more time. We still have, a minute or two left?
The event is coming up May 4th. It's at Duran Golf Club, and you can, May the 4th be with you. And we're looking for golfers and sponsors. But I also want to caution you on that big number we threw out before, $4,000 to sponsor a child. Let me tell you, if it's $5, if it's $10, if it's a used sewing machine, any little thing will help us. So don't let that big number intimidate you. But if you want to golf, Duran, May 4th. I need golfers. I need somebody teaching me how to golf. Well, you won't have to do that. But golfers. So check it out.
I'm glad you said that because, there are people.